How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
We get it. Gift giving for your guy isn't the easiest thing in the world, especially for Valentine's Day. Also, yeah, there's only so many stuffed animals holding a heart a guy needs. But what if you got him the perfect gift that's also a gift for you? We're talking about a pair of the OG Perfect Jean, made with a super secret special premium fabric blend that is extremely comfortable and makes his butt look good. The Perfect Jean has fits ranging from athletic to slim thick to skinny. So whether running errands with a polo for the office or paired with a solid color tee and blazer for date night, the Perfect Jean always looks and feels good. And let's face it, if your man looks good, you look great. But what's a gift without a little savings for you? Use code PEROPOD, that's PEROPOD, on your first order at theperfectjean.nyc and get 20% off. Hey, Valentine's Day is about showing love, and we think 20% off your order shows just how much we love you. So this Valentine's Day, save 20% off a pair of the Perfect Jean for your man with code PEROPOD. It's the perfect gift.
Hey everyone, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is Season 7 of Better Let Me Tell You.
Freaking love that song so much.
I just realized how much I love James Ingram.
Dude, James Ingram.
Name I knew.
Right, but he's one of these people that when you look at his greatest hits, it's like, oh, I know every song in here.
Yeah, and I did not
know
it was
him. Well, let's welcome our Beto Primos. Yes. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 284 of Beto Let Me Tell You. How is everybody? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It's Friday.
It's Beto Friday.
Yes, Beto Friday. It's almost Valentine's Day, which means the dollar store has 4th of July.
Yes. Yes. Ahorita they're going to have Christmas again. I'm not kidding. Ahorita they're going to have Christmas again. It's like, weren't we just here?
Yeah, it's like, it's only August. Just here? Yeah.
How is everybody?
Yeah, I think everybody's doing good. I will say, you know, we had a little bit of a scare this week in Florida. The earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody's okay. It was 100 miles off the East Coast. It was Wednesday night. Oh, it's now fake Friday.
I don't have a earthquake rider on my
I don't think anybody does.
Property insurance. I know, but it's Florida. Hashtag
that's true.
Because Florida. That's so, true. You
that's
know.
True.
But anyway, yeah, James Ingram. Mira, he sings what we were just singing now.
Come to me.
Oh, I freaking love that song. Then he sings Find 100 Ways.
Yes.
And then he also sings Just Once. Can we finally make the magic last for more than just one night? And then American Tale.
Somewhere out there.
Yeah, and more. Like,
and more,
and
yeah.
And
yeah.
Then in the 90s, he had I Don't Have the Heart.
It's to that's, love you, that's not the way you want me to.
James Ingram
the shit.
And he was like classic R&B.
Yeah,
because he was 70s, 80s, and he had a few songs in the early 90s, so he's not like 90s R&B. He's
No.
Classic R&B, and sweet, R&B. You know, that's my jam.
That is your sweet spot. That is your sweet spot.
Oh, but yes. Baby Come to Me? Mira, Baby Come to Me by James Ingram and Patty Austin. It's a reunited.
That's Peaches and Herb, right?
That's Peaches and Herb. And then the other one by Sergio Mendes.
Oh, well, yeah, that we don't know who sings it, really.
Right. Those three songs, my God.
Back to back.
Yeah, it's like you got pregnant just listening to those songs. Like
those listeners, songs, I hope you're wearing condoms while you're hearing this conversation.
Should be played in fertility clinics. Yeah. Like, welcome to our fertility playlist of Pero Let Me Tell You.
Baby.
But it's so good.
Well, you got to throw some Barry White in there if it's a fertility clinic.
Yeah, no, but that's the law. But these are duets, you know.
Okay.
There's a little his and hers.
That's true. That's true. You know? It's bringing people together.
As music should.
Music should. Yes.
But yes. It was great. So speaking of music,
the transition was right there.
Did you see the Grammys this weekend? Did everybody see the Grammys?
I think. Well, actually, I know that the ratings were up.
Yeah.
This year. So
Grammys were amazing.
Yeah. So I don't know if all of our listeners heard it, but I know a big chunk of our listeners did if we're going by numbers alone. Yeah,
we're going to go that way.
Yeah. I loved the Grammys this year. I was just thinking about it the other day that it's been so long since there's been a Grammys that I just walked away afterwards feeling like happy.
Right.
There
was something for everybody.
It was something for everybody, but it just felt like an actual celebration of music. Is the vibe that came across, where I know that's the vibe every year that they're going for, but for some reason this year it just felt really like everybody was there to have fun, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we can credit that, honestly, to Miley setting the tone.
Yeah. You know what's funny?
I think she set the tone.
So for you listeners who weren't watching, Miley Cyrus won a couple of Grammys. Yep. And she won the first her first Grammy ever and the first Grammy of the night. And it's funny because I was watching the Grammys, and right when I was watching, I was actually cooking. And they had a really hush-hush who the presenters were going to be.
Yeah, they didn't
say,
yeah.
And, 285 episodes. Everybody knows I love Mariah Carey. And I would know if she's going to have like a major
There's
public.
There's buzz.
You know, right. And presenters, they usually say who's going to present. And I'm there, cooking, and I hear, oh, and our first presenter, five-time a Grammy Award winner. Okay, she has five Grammys. I knew that. 32 nominations. I'm like, okay, 32 nominations. The highest-selling female. I'm like, what? Like, every act, I was like, wait,
there's
what?
No one else
I was
be.
Like, wait, what? I was like,
right.
I like dropped what I was making. I'm like, oh, hold on. And then, of course, it was Mariah.
Then she came out.
Yes. And she...
MC presented to MC.
MC, the award was to Mariah. I'm sorry, Mariah presented the award to Miley. What was it for? Best pop female artist?
I believe so, yeah.
So, what that moment got a lot of buzz for was that when Miley won her award, she was really celebratory and all that. And she, gave a lot of respect to Mariah. Like,
absolutely.
This is so iconic, MC and MC. And, if I would have missed the award, it would have been okay, but not you. So she, gave my Mariah her credit.
Yeah, her props.
An icon while she was getting it. Not what happened later in the day with, sorry to the Swifties out there, with Taylor Swift and Celine Dion.
With Miss Carbon Footprint herself.
It's funny because I'm sure when you were watching it and when everybody's watching it was like immediately I was like, wait, what? Because she, Taylor Swift wins album of the year. So it's like the biggest award. And Celine Dion presented in. And, you know, when they present it to
Celine Dion, Celine's been going through her stiff people disease.
You know,
that
she's been out of the public eye for quite some time and people are very concerned about her health. And, you know, again, she's been completely gone from the spotlight. So when they say, oh, Celine Dion, everybody like stood up and was like, wait, what? Like,
I got a little misty-eyed.
This was like a big deal, right? Yeah. So then, you know, obviously she presents the nominees. Taylor won. Taylor goes out and drags Lana Del Rey up on the
oh my God.
She literally dragged her.
She bumped into a chair.
Up on stage. She greets everybody on stage. But what I thought was really funny of Celine Dion was that she didn't even acknowledge her existence.
No.
Like it was like if she got the award from a statue, from like a pedestal. Like,
Like
she didn't even make eye contact with her. Obviously, I would like to believe
she
that
got caught
she
was caught up in the moment.
Caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that Taylor Swift, and I'm not a Swiftie, I'm not either a critic, I don't either defend her or criticize her, but I also don't think that she would have done that.
Not purposely.
Right. But the MVP of the whole Grammys is that PR person for Taylor Swift, because obviously we all noticed that at the same time, that she didn't acknowledge Celine Dion. And not less than 2 minutes later, 120 seconds later, there was a picture on Twitter of them two hugging.
Yeah,
so that person
holding the award.
Taylor, if you're listening to our podcast, you better give that person a raise.
Yes. Well, maybe not, because I think that person is probably responsible right now for the other kerfuffle that's happening with Taylor Swift.
What's the other kerfuffle?
So
there's another kerfuffle?
There's another kerfuffle, a Taylor kerfuffle.
Oh, no.
So, you know, I don't know if you've heard of this kid who he tracks the private jet usage of celebrities and billionaires, and he publishes it on Twitter. He did it for Taylor Swift, and this is public information because it's not like he's paying somebody off. He's getting it from some like FAA website, right? So he's been posting it to show like, look, she's, you know, like I think one of the last ones, it was like instead of a 40-minute drive, she took her private plane and it was a 13-minute flight, right? Her legal team has issued a cease and desist to him, saying that his behavior is akin to stalking and that, you know, it's posing a danger for her safety by posting, you know, her whereabouts, I guess you could say, to which I call bullshit because he's using public information, you know, and so
flight records are public information.
Yeah. So what they found is that, you know, her carbon footprint isn't as Swift as
has
they'd
she
like
made
it to
some
be.
Claims to be like all green.
I don't necessarily know that she's been making claims.
I mean, but she has an album called Evermore. So.
I think she's and I don't know how carbon footprint works, listeners. So if any of you knows, please feel free. But I think she borrowed against some footprints, and there's a whole thing.
I think there's two involved things there. I mean, I do think that obviously as a celebrity, there's a lot of celebrities that take all these private jets everywhere,
right.
And I think that as a celebrity, maybe you, if you have the option, as you said, of a 40-minute flight versus a 13-minute flight, you know, maybe if it's not too much of a big of a deal, take the bus or the, you know, these are like really big, nice private buses,
yeah, it's
right?
not the public
so,
transport. Yeah.
You know, at the same time, like maybe certain celebrities or millionaires or whoever take private jets, because it's not common folk like us, could do maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit goes a long way, could be a little bit more responsible about that. But at the same time, I also think that Taylor Swift is in a unique position right now where anything and everything that she says or doesn't do or doesn't say is going to get scrutinized.
Right.
So she is that person now.
Fair enough. But to this kid's credit, I mean, he's a college student and he does it for everybody. I mean, he publishes it igual for Taylor Swift, for Donald Trump, for Elon Musk, so
I remember Harry and Meghan got some shit for that too,
right?
That they were using, you know, their plane in philanthropy, you know, because they were going to all these like, you know, philanthropic events and using their private plane a lot. So I don't have a problem with that being out there. And again, it is public information, but you know, again, I think that right now she's being so scrutinized, whole conspiracy that her and this guy.
What is that? I can't even be bothered to
it
really
is ridiculous.
Look into it.
So
but what is it?
So the whole conspiracy is that apparently, Taylor Swift and Kelsey, they are in on it. To their relationship is a sort of a publicity stunt, and the games now, especially the championship games, are all bought and you know,
so it's locked up,
in favor of the Chiefs, and that they are going to win the Super Bowl. So it could include it could make them more popular.
How's that possible?
More popular and have their power more spread through. So then at the end, they could endorse Biden.
Good I Lord, mean, that is some long it, game
bullshit.
It's
funny because the other day, someone very close to me mentioned that, and I go, stop. I was like, stop. This is how rumors, this is how you perpetuate,
perpetuate rumors,
yeah. Right? This is how you rumors spread. So even you saying, oh, I heard that this and this and this, but I think it's not true, is enough to spread the rumor.
Like
so,
we just did.
So, we're putting that to shame. Yeah. You know, the fact that this, it's sort of like, okay, let's be creative and come up with a rumor and we're going to put it out there and we're going to tell people that it's true.
Right.
I mean, to make these wild allegations that all these games and the championship, NFL championships have been, you know, bought and favored for the Chiefs so they could then in turn win the Super Bowl because they're going to win the Super Bowl. So these two powerhouses, you know, Taylor Swift and her boyfriend Kelce,
can now
have even a greater influence. So then they could endorse Joe Biden and then win the election. I mean, this is the type of stuff that, like, it's like, welcome to creative storytelling.
Right.
Right. What creative story are we going to come up with today?
I think this was actually...
And there's people who believe this, like, who actually believe this. And again, this is not even about political ideology.
No, it's just the leaps you have to make to think that this is true.
Yes.
The mental gymnastics that you have to do.
The mental gymnastics that you have to take to get to that. I mean, and listen, that's not to say that there's certain things that aren't rigged or certain things that may be, you know, in play in completely other realms. But I mean, this is like a really far stretch. And there's people who believe it. I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, most people, even people that say they believe it, don't believe it, but they'll do and say whatever they need to do and say to get to their ultimate political narrative that fits them.
Right.
So, yeah, it's really, really crazy. So it's funny because there's people who are saying, oh, you know, you watch. If the Kansas City wins the Super Bowl, see, I told you it was right. Well, they're sort of leaving out that Kansas City has won several Super Bowls in the last several years, and they are currently one of the powerhouses, not now, for several years in the NFL. So they have
a good track record.
They have a very consistent record that shows that they're on the top of literally their game.
Right.
So they're sort of leaving that, point out. So because it would have sort of been, they would have made that argument about the Miami Dolphins. Okay, well, you know, the Dolphins had a pretty good season this year, but you know,
on the whole,
they haven't been competitive for a while,
right?
But you know, you're talking about a team that has been extremely competitive in the last several years. But yeah, we're just gonna go ahead and believe that.
Good googly.
By the way, speaking of the Super Bowl, I'm ready for Usher.
I mean,
I'm ready for Usher. So what do we think Usher's going to sing? OMG?
Probably.
Because baby tonight.
Well, he's supposed to have a special guest. So I think maybe depending on who the special guest is,
guest is going to be anybody that's been in his songs.
Okay, so it won't be like Pitbull?
No.
Okay.
And I really hope it's not.
I don't mind Pitbull. I don't mind.
It's not that I mind Pitbull, but Pitbull is in DJ's Got Us Falling in Love Again, and which is actually one of my favorite Usher songs. Pitbull's rap in that song, I mean, is terrible. It's so bad that the single edit has a different rap because the original one he goes Papa Nicolado. I mean, he's talking about a pap smear, people.
I think more songs should talk about pap smears.
I mean, he's talking about a pap smear. I mean, come on, Armando. We know you could do better than that. Like, that rap is like awful. And then the one he did in the single,
maybe it was for breast cancer awareness.
Then the one he did in the single, Bada Boom Bada Beam, is not any much better.
Okay, but so are you gonna prefer pap smear?
I mean, I guess you could only go up from pap smear,
right? As most women will agree.
You can only go up. So I don't know about that. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I he's got 13 minutes.
If he could have any, if he were to do a song, if he were to bring somebody up where that is somebody he's done a song with before, I would love and hope that it's Alicia Keys.
Okay, but well, you know, my boo. You know what? The only reason I would say it, probably not hers, because she's already done a halftime.
Yeah, but she hasn't headlined a halftime. And Usher's already done halftime
too. She didn't headline?
No. You know, Usher's done halftime too. Usher came out in 2011 with the Black Eyed Peas.
Why did I think she had not headlined? No, clearly I'm taking your word for it, but in my mind she did.
She hasn't.
Okay, well then, there you go. Okay, so it could be Alicia Keys.
It could. If it's somebody, if it were to be somebody that he's done a song with, I hope it's her. Because then Alicia Keys can, you know, do a little snippets of her songs.
Right, give us a little medley.
Yeah.
A little medley
That he could sort of sing on as well.
Yeah, because he could just do the backing vocals.
He could do a duet with Fallen.
Ooh.
With her.
See, and he could do a duet. Why do you get me excited about things that then don't happen?
Some people want it all. So, yeah.
It could be Alicia.
You heard it here first,
people. It could be Alicia. You know what? If on Sunday the stage is set up with like a big circle and there's nothing in the circle, it might be Alicia coming up with the piano.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yep. And he can dance on the piano. All I know is that it's got to be a lot more lively than last year's.
Rihanna?
Rihanna's Snoozapalooza. Oh, yeah.
Gosh. Rihanna. Rihanna's halftime performance last year was awful. And I like Rihanna. It's nothing against Rihanna. And actually, you know what? I wouldn't even say that it was awful. I shouldn't say it was awful.
It was just boring.
But it was just like when the halftime finished, immediately on Twitter, oh, Queen. Oh, she
best
slayed.
Halftime
no,
ever.
No, she didn't.
She didn't.
No, look, in 285 episodes, I think I professed how much I love The Weeknd.
Right.
You know how Abel's my boy.
Right.
And I will tell you, I don't think Abel's Super Bowl was the best one.
It was kind of messy.
I would put it mid. I don't think it was messy. I would just put it mid. Remember that he did it in 2021 when COVID. He had all the pandemic restrictions. Yeah. So he couldn't have a stage in the middle of the field, although he did go out in the middle of the field at the end to do Blinding Lights. But he was restricted. I think I would put him mid-range. It wasn't terrible.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't. I would definitely not put it in the top 10. Right. And if I did put it in the top 10, it would be my personal favorite because I love it.
It's a biased top 10.
Right. But I know that he's not one of the best Super Bowls. Right. You know, this girl's performance was not that great. In terms of the technology, it was that she was like on floating platforms.
Oh, that's
and all
cool.
That was cool. But then I'll repeat told you after that you got you thinking.
Yeah.
That I told you, when have you ever seen a performance of Rihanna that knocked your socks off? I'll give you a minute.
No. You don't have to because we did this. We went through this last year. Yeah. And no, you're right.
And I like Rihanna. I've never seen Rihanna in concert, but I would totally go see her in concert. I love Bad Girl Riri. You know, I like her songs. I like her. But when have you ever seen a performance of Rihanna that you
Sarah
were like,
Mio.
Go, yeah, wow, damn. Yeah.
No, Sarah you're right.
Esta chiquita.
You're right.
She's
just not that girl.
She's not.
Yeah.
She's not. I mean... Bad Girl Riri.
Yes, but we'll see, you know, next Friday, I'm sure we will be cooing and awing about Usher's performance.
Usher is so freaking awesome.
I'm just glad Usher exists.
He is. I mean, Usher, I'm glad he got the Super Bowl. I think it's long overdue. I mean, if he doesn't bring out Alicia Keys, I would totally bring out Janet Jackson, but, you know.
I think Janet... You know, listen, with that said, though, remember, children, this Sunday to put out your nipple rings for Janet Jackson Day.
Janet Jackson Appreciation Day.
Appreciation Day, yes. Yes.
I mean, look, if I was Usher, the only reason I wouldn't bring out Janet Jackson is because...
It would overshadow.
Yeah, you worked so hard to get there that it's like, okay, I also don't want to sabotage myself.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to make myself look less than the headliner. Yeah.
So... Speaking of music,
one quick thing. You know that I didn't know they don't get paid.
No, they never
do. Super Bowl. They get a production budget,
right? But they don't.
They don't get paid. No. Yeah, I found that out this year.
They don't, and they do get a production budget, and it's not as big as people think it is.
The Weeknd had to put in his money.
I think Madonna had to put in her money, some of her money in 2012. They actually have a lot of limitations.
Yeah,
and according to the documentary that J Lo did for her halftime performance, apparently they don't let you do anything. You know, they don't let you do this. They don't let you. It's the NFL, you know?
That's true. At the end of the day. Listen, the last time they let you do whatever you wanted, Janet Jackson.
So, you know,
I
saw that documentary of J-Lo. Mm-hmm. The one with Halftime.
Yes, Halftime, yeah.
I saw it like last week.
Oh,
Four years later.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just never was tempted to see it, but I actually did see it. And you know what? I have to tell you this. I ended up loving that Halftime. I loved it.
It was fantastic.
I would put it in the top
20.
20 halftime shows ever. And I think it was great that it was here in Miami, that it was Latina power and all that. But she said something along the lines of that I agreed with her. Jennifer Lopez, love her or hate her, thinks she's great, thinks she sucks, has an enormous amount of star power.
Yeah.
So does Shakira. So why didn't they get their own halftime performance? Why did they split it up between the two? Because Jennifer Lopez, I would argue,
brings viewers,
is as at least as popular as Maroon 5, and they got their own Super Bowl.
I would argue she's more popular.
Jennifer Lopez in the U.S. is arguably more popular than Coldplay, and I love Coldplay.
Right, but right,
but they got their own halftime show, and I could go on and on and on.
Why did they have to share?
Why did they have to share?
Misogyny.
I mean, look, I don't want to jump up to that, but it's like, why do they have to share?
Right.
Because they're both huge stars. Shakira, as big as Shakira is here to us, I understand that Shakira internationally is bigger than in the United States, although she's very big here.
Right. She's very well known.
Right. But internationally, I think Shakira has a bigger audience than Jennifer, but J-Lo has a huge audience here, lover or hater. And again, I'm not complaining about the show because I thought the show was fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, why did they give it half to half and half?
One day we'll have them on the show and we'll ask.
Yeah. I'll be like, Shakira, I'm not going to ask you about Ciegas o no Muda. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We're well into the new year and you're probably trying to figure out how to keep those New Year's resolutions. You know who could help with that? Our friends at BetterHelp. So often we focus on external factors when trying to make changes in our lives, when the key is actually improving our mental well-being. BetterHelp offers various customized therapy options like phone, video, text, or even live sessions, all with a certified therapist. Your mental health deserves to happen on your time, right? And BetterHelp can match you with a therapist in 48 hours, in most cases. And as a special offer for Pero Let Me Tell You listeners, you can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/pero. It's already more affordable than in-person therapy. Now you can also save on your first month. Self-improvement isn't just a New Year's resolution. It's a lifelong journey, and BetterHelp can help you take the first step on that path. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pero. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this podcast episode. So speaking of music, so saw a documentary this week about the making of We Are the World. I think you said you hadn't had a chance.
I have not, no.
To watch the documentary. And it was really interesting because they talk about, you know, the making of the show, of the song, and how hard it was to get together. I think it was 47 singers for the show. And these were 47 of the best singers.
At the peak, yeah.
In their peak of the most legendary singers. Diana Ross, Tina Turner, Bob Dylan, Michael Jackson.
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates.
Again, we have to always... You know this is the Hall & Oates podcast. Oates.
So on and so forth. Cyndi Lauper, Huey Lewis,
Smokey Robinson.
I mean, legends, absolute legends. And you know how hard it was to get them all together in one room to do that. And the only way they could do that was if they shot it the night of the American Music Awards. And like I learned in the documentary that same night, Bruce Springsteen had concluded his Born in the USA tour.
Jiminy.
And he flew from the last show over to record the song. Oh, wow. Like, it was that big of a deal. And, you know, for those of you who are maybe old enough to remember this song, and the song has significance to you, I really recommend watching it because, for example, I actually think We Are the World is cheesy as fuck. Like,
I don't like it.
I don't like the song.
No, I'm not a fan of preachy songs.
I actually
think the song
is terrible. But, especially if you're our age, that song was very, very relevant when we were kids, like little kids. That song came out when we were like in kindergarten. So that was also a song that did not die for years. For years, it didn't die. So every Christmas show, every chorus rehearsal.
Every graduation.
Yeah. Every freaking thing was, we are the world, we are the children, we are the ones.
So I like your We Are the World by way of JoJo Siwa. So you just did
that? No, I was like, we are the world! We are the children! We're the ones who make a better thing! That would have been JoJo Siwa. Everyone, we are the world! Do you like the bowl in my hair? Anyway, moving right along. So the reason I brought this up was because... as much as I don't care for the song, and I think it's really cheesy, as I said, I do feel for the song from a nostalgic point of view because it reminds me of my childhood. And it reminds me of how big a song can be because that song was massive.
True.
So what made me think about this, and I pass it off to you, and this may make us sound old and dated, is I was looking I was looking at that documentary and I was like, man, everybody on here is a freaking legend.
Yeah.
Would they be able to do that today?
So I think that the short answer is yes and no.
Do you think they would have to go with like people that were already legends and be like, hey, right. I know your heyday was like 25 years ago,
right.
But come to We Are the World.
Right. Like, I think you would probably have like an interesting blend. You would probably still have like your Stevie Wonders, right? Lionel Richie, Diana Ross, you know, kind of bring them back as the old guard, right? Like passing the baton. But then you would have to incorporate certain newer quote unquote legends. I'm loathe to use that word for the people I'm about to say only because I don't think they've been doing it long enough to warrant that title necessarily, but you know, you would bring in your Beyoncé's and your Taylor Swift's, right? Because these are people who I think we can all agree are going to stand the test of time. Like they're going to be that next generation of longevity artists, right? And then you bring in, you know, your other people who are probably not going to be around for the next 5 years or so.
Right, but Mita, because something that I was looking at is that, so for example, the We Are the World was recorded in January of 1985, so it's 39 years old. So for example, somebody like Diana Ross. Diana Ross, at that point, had been famous for like 25, 30 years, yeah. Right? But she was still extremely relevant and making top 20, top 40 music in 1985.
Yeah, she had probably just come off of like Mahogany or something.
Right,
yeah.
The same with like Kenny Rogers.
Right.
The same with like Lionel Richie. You know, he had been around for a while. But, you know, even though Lionel Richie came out, what, in like the 60s with the Temptations?
The Commodores.
His biggest hits were actually in 84, 85, 86.
So they were still to come.
Right. Yeah. Like, he was at his peak, even though he had been around for 20-some years at that point. So there were a lot of singers that in the original We Are the World that were not – they were very experienced and well-seasoned singers. Right? Then you had newer people like at that time like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper, Hall & Oates.
Right.
Huey Lewis in the News.
LaToya Jackson.
people like that. Well, even Michael Jackson had been around since he was a kid.
But he was already a veteran at that point, yeah.
Right. So – yes, you would bring in classics, but those classics were very still relevant at that time. Whereas now...
That doesn't exist.
Very few people, like...
I mean, I guess you could say Madonna.
Right, but Madonna, there's certain people that are in a different category. But like, for example, if they were to bring somebody... Like, Beyoncé is a good example because Beyoncé is one of the exceptions. She's had a recording career for over 25 years.
Right.
And you could even say that she was at her peak, you know, past year now with Renaissance. But Beyoncé is the exception, not the rule. Like, who are you going to bring from the TRL days, let's say, that 20 years ago? Are you going to bring Blink-182? And no disrespect to them.
No, maybe you could bring the lead singer from Fall Out Boy.
So are you... Okay, let's say, are you going to bring Christina Aguilera? And it's no shade to Christina Aguilera.
I mean, I think okay, so I would say yes, only because if you're looking for that combination of like powerhouse voice with name value, I say bring Christina.
Right,
she's not relevant today the way that Diana Ross was relevant
exactly,
at that time.
Exactly.
Correct.
So, and it's no shade against Christina.
It's just charts.
And I think she's a great singer. But Christina, at this point in time, is practically a legacy act.
Right.
Yeah. Christina's songs aren't being played on the radio.
Right.
Maybe they should, but they're not. Right. But again, that's why I said all these other people in the original We Are the World were 20-some, 30 years into their career and were still rocking out those hits and like were huge, massive successes.
But I also think it also the music industry and even radio was so different at that point,
right,
too.
Right, but that's why I say...
That's the big factor.
Right, obviously things have changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Things have changed. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
But that's why I say, when I was watching, I'm like, could they do this now? Could they get a room with 45 people like... at the top of their game.
That are recognizable to everyone.
Recognizable to everybody, that are still making hits, that are still relevant. You know, could they get 45 people that are now of a different generation?
Right.
I don't think they can. Or I think it would be a lot more challenging.
It's a lot more challenging, also just because everything is so much more fragmented.
And when I was watching that,
right.
that it was 47 people, I was thinking, it was 47 people, and despite that, they left out this person, this person, this person.
Oh,
this
yeah. person, I heard that one, gente.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas now, I'll be like, I don't think you could fill up 20 of them.
No, I mean, again, I'm sure if you gave me a couple hours, I could probably come up with it, but it's not that long of a show.
But I think about TRL, because TRL, we're talking about over 20 years at this
right.
point.
Right, so technically that's who you could right. bring in Justin Timberlake.
Right. Justin, you could still squeeze that is sort of relevant.
You know, you could bring in Usher.
Very few. Usher would be a great one. Usher
again, that's what I'm, right. But even still,
are you gonna bring you know
as much as I love Usher? Usher's not played on the radio,
right? I mean, he just died. But even if he would have, could he bring somebody like Smash Mouth that was very popular in the TRL days? Lincoln. Well, no, I keep talking about people that have passed away.
Yeah, give me people we can work with.
even Jennifer Lopez, like
right.
You would bring in Jennifer Lopez because of the star power, but not because of the music relevancy.
Right. Right. No, you're right. You're not wrong. I who would you even bring? Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think it's also showing a little bit of our age that I can't think of a quote unquote new artist who I think would be a good fit. And again, I don't know what the cutoff would be for the new artist portion of it, right? Like, do you bring in Olivia Rodrigo or is it, you know, SZA? Is it like, what is the cutoff? You know, is it Jelly Roll? I don't know.
Mira, somebody that you could bring yeah. in, whether you like her or not, is somebody like a Miley Cyrus, because Miley Cyrus is a good 15 years into her career.
True.
Right from when Hannah Montana came out or more and all that. And look, she just won a Grammy this week, whether you like her or not. I mean, she's sort of proven the test of time
she
to a
really
certain
has.
Extent.
Yeah.
You know, somebody like her, I mean, it does exist, but like you really have to think about it.
Yeah, I think it requires more thought.
Because even if you were to include somebody like a Celine Dion, a Mariah Carey, you know, things like
right,
that.
Right, right.
I mean, I love them. I would love Mariah to be in that, but Mariah's already past her prime.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, you would be putting her in there because of a legendary status, but not because she's somebody that's
right.
current.
Right.
That her stuff is getting played on the radio right now, that she's top 40.
Yeah, it'd be like including Dolly Parton.
Right. You know. And even somebody like The Weeknd that I love, The Weeknd's been around for less than 10 years, you know, so I wouldn't even put him in that category as these legends. I mean, these people are already iconic.
Yeah, but The Weeknd could fall under the, I mean, because again, going back, you know, Springsteen and Cyndi Lauper at that point were quote unquote new right. or newer. So I think you still have to have room for those newer acts that show promise.
Right.
You know, like The Weeknd.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I think that could work. Well, you know what? We'll
bring Alicia Keys as well.
You know, just bring Alicia Keys into everything. Alicia Keys should just show up at everything.
Bring Britney Spears. How would she Britney sing that?
I'm a children.
I'd bring Dua Lipa in
because I just need Dua Lipa,
Dua Lipa and everything.
I just want to watch Dua Lipa.
You know what? I've said this before. I wonder if it's hard.
To be Dua Lipa?
To be Dua Lipa. That you wake up in the morning and go, I'm so fucking beautiful. Like, I tell you, Shima has to be a terrible person because it's not fair that somebody is so beautiful.
And talented.
Like, it's not fair.
She's not a good dancer, if that helps.
You know what? I know that people have talked about her not being a good dancer, but I think she's worked on it.
Oh, she's put in the work, but it doesn't come naturally.
Her Grammy performance, yeah, actually, Houdini. Going back to the Grammys, was great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really, really good. I know. I have heard that she's not a great dancer.
Yeah, I went to her concert. She's not. She's not going to win Dancing with the Stars. Right.
She gets the job more or less.
Mahomano, yeah.
But I mean, yeah. I'm like, she must be a total bitch because like
that's the rumor we're going to start.
It's not fair that you know you're so talented and you're so freaking beautiful. And you know what I find so attractive in her is that she doesn't even try. Like,
she just shows up.
She just shows up. I'm Dua Lipa.
Well, you know, listen, if you've seen her father, you know it's genetic.
Listen, it goes back to what I tell you. Her family's from Kosovo.
That part of the world.
I don't know I don't know what is in the water.
That part of the world in Australia.
Like, I don't know what's in the water in that part of the world, but it's like, you know, I had heard the thing about her father. And then I looked him up and I go, oh.
But you didn't see him at the Grammys standing behind her?
I didn't notice. No, but this was a while ago.
Oh, okay.
I had heard her dad was like a silver fox or whatever. And I looked him up and I'm like, oh, that's not like a model or somebody. It's her dad.
And he's probably younger than us.
It's like, oh, it's her dad. Like, it's like, hi, like, this is my dad. He's like the tremendo stud.
Yeah,
this
right.
is my dad.
But it's like, well, it explains it. It explains you. I get it. I totally get it.
I'm telling you, it's all these people, like the whole family is like gorgeous. It's like, but why?
It's like, I just want you to be either really awful or really stupid.
It's like, did you have acne, Lipa? Like, you have, please tell me that you at least had acne like the rest of us.
She had like one pimple once on like her elbow.
Like, do you have like really unmanageable hair? Like,
she has horrible halitosis.
Maybe she has, what is it, cankles? Because nobody could be that perfect.
Yeah, we're going to find Dua Lipa's flaw.
Did you see her earlier, like last year, when she did that Versace collection?
Oh.
I was like, what? Like,
oh, good Lord.
But like, it's not fair.
It's just not fair. It's not. It's not.
And, you it's know, not fair to be so okay. beautiful like Dua Lipa. It's just not
it's
fair
just not
for
fair.
The rest of us.
No. So, but you know anyway. What? But at least she gives us something to look at.
Yeah.
That's, you know. That's
otherwise, she'll go Houdini.
Exactly.
I wonder how many kids
have no idea what she's talking about.
Oh, no.
That's like, have you seen the cover art for the single?
That she's against the mirror?
No. There, I guess there's multiples. For the radio edit version, it's just a close-up of like a tongue with a key on it.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder how many people don't get the reference.
The Houdini reference?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how many kids are like, catch me or I go Houdini.
It's like,
no,
like,
clue.
Where's she going? Where's Houdini? Going?
Is that like a club?
Yeah. Is that a club in Kosovo?
Is that the latest trendy club that the kids go to? Houdini?
It's where Stefan is telling people to
club
go.
Houdini?
Yes. Oh, Lord. So I actually wanted to bring something up. I wanted to ask you, because, you know, every once in a while, we like to talk about legalese type things.
Oh,
and
no, not the legalese.
And who better than you to help to help me understand things? So do you know who Gina Carano is?
I do.
Okay. So for our listeners, Gina Carano was on The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years back, she was, for all intents and purposes, she was let go because she posted some things on Twitter. Correct me if I'm wrong, they were like anti-trans, anti-LGBT. I mean, essentially just, you know, hyper far right wing type of things. Mm-hmm. She was subsequently fired from Disney. Well, now she is suing Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually reading this. She's suing them for discrimination and wrongful termination in a lawsuit. She's also asking them to recast her back in The Mandalorian. So she basically wants her role back.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty of all of this
her
is
role
that
is pretty awesome. But
the beauty of all of this, though, is that this entire lawsuit is being funded by, you know, the self-proclaimed champion of free speech, Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has said that I guess they kind of choose what cases they're gonna fund. Anybody who's incurred some type of repercussions for statements made on X, you know, they're willing to step up and help fund the legal defense and so on and so forth. I don't know what the process is to be selected for that. Obviously, in this case, it's very high profile, so I'm sure that had something to do with it. But their X's head of business said, as a sign of X Corp's commitment to free speech, we're proud to provide financial support for Gina Carano's lawsuit, empowering her to seek vindication of her free speech rights on X and the ability to work without bullying, harassment, or discrimination.
Okay.
So my question to you is, I mean, there's several questions to be had here, but from a legal perspective, because I know a lot of times when people trot out free speech, you know, free speech, free speech, free speech, and we've said on this show many times, what people fail to realize is that the Constitution, what it protects you is retaliation from the government.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a case of Elon Musk blustering, or is there something there based on, again, I know you don't know the exact details of the case.
Okay. So as far as the wrongful termination part of it, that I don't know of, because I really don't. I remember when all this was happening with her, but I really don't remember or know on a factual basis the allegations in terms of the wrongful termination. So I don't know the timeline as to what it is she said, what did Disney say, then what did she say again, then what did Disney
say? They asked her at one point basically to issue a statement saying that, you know, she was very sorry for what she posted. She said, I'm not doing that. They wanted her to meet with some LGBT people in the company, and she said no. So it sounds like they tried to kind of like, look, this and it'll go away.
I'm gonna let's first talk about that, and then we'll talk about the free speech part
of
it.
Yes.
So I'm going to go ahead and assume, I could be wrong, this is an assumption, that anybody that works for anything 1 million miles near Disney or anything having to do with Disney property or Disney IP has a morality clause on that contract that includes anything and everything. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that there was probably some type of clause in her contract that Disney probably
like,
used.
Like a morals clause?
Against her in terms of curtailing her postings, because this was on Instagram, right?
No, this was on Twitter at the time. Now I want to bring something up. While she was allegedly fired for her cultural and religious beliefs, Carano argues the entertainment giant turned a blind eye to her male co-stars who allegedly made offensive and denigrating posts directed toward Republicans. And she points to Pedro Pascal's 2017 post comparing former President Trump to Hitler. Mm-hmm. So she's also kind of saying, like, look, if you're going to fire me for, you know, you're saying you're firing me for not complying, but these, you know, my co-stars making similar
right
inflammatory statements.
And you know what? That may be true. That may not be true. I don't know, because then we have to go back and build a timeline to that. So you could make an argument as she is there in terms of the wrongful termination, that similar behavior and similar posts have been done by other people that are associated with the production of The Mandalorian that didn't have any consequences or repercussions, whereas I had comparable behavior, and this is what the outcome was.
Right.
Hence the wrongful termination.
Discrimination.
Now,
hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I will say this. That is not necessarily a defense in law, because that's sort of saying when a cop stops you because you're speeding, saying, well, that car over there was speeding. Why didn't you stop him?
Okay.
Right? So from a legal perspective, it's not really a defense to say, oh, well, these are the clauses. I suffered consequences because you're alleging that I violated them, but these other people also violated them and they didn't get anything done to them, right? That's not a defense at law.
But couldn't it be a defense from a jury, if it goes that far, perspective to say, you know, let me finish. If they're saying, you know, she was let go for inflammatory statements, could not at least, maybe, I don't know if it's a legal defense, but just in terms of getting the jury to put in their mind, can't they bring up, like, look, you're saying inflammatory statements are not allowed, and yet here we have these other instances?
No, because if you base a jury instructions on the charge at hand and at the legality of it, or whether it's a statute or a contract, if you base it on the elements of a breach of contract or things like that, you don't base that, and the jury instruction is not going to be, well, but other people. No, it's the facts in this case. This person's the allegations against this person are this. The contract states this. Did she breach this? Yes or no?
Okay, so it's a contract dispute, essentially.
Not did other people. I mean, again, I'm alleging.
We
don't know here.
Right.
We don't know here.
On the face of it. Sorry.
On the face of it. So that one I can't. That one I will guess more on. But with the free speech one. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Pero Let Me Tell You's refresher on free speech.
This is the Learn Corner.
I may have learned, may or may not have learned free speech during my stint in law school.
Just did they still cover that, really?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Con law we took several times. Con law is you take more in more than one semester.
And con law being constitutional law.
Constitutional law.
Not laws about convicts. No.
So again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the refresher course of Pero Let Me Tell You. First Amendment. Is it a First Amendment violation or not? That should be a game.
Ooh. So many people would fail.
Again, things that I may or may not have learned in law school. Anyway, so let's go over this again. Freedom of speech refers to speech that you make, that you say, that you are that is constitutionally protected, and because it is protected, you cannot have repercussions in terms of the government. So the government cannot arrest you or sue you or anything like that because of your constitutionally protected speech. There are exceptions to free speech, like hate speech. Right. So on and so forth.
Yelling fire in a crowded theater.
That's the one everybody always goes
to. Well, you know.
There are exceptions, but generally, it is protected speech. However, and I will say this again, free speech does not include making statements on social media, at work, on TV, in a podcast, which may involve consequences that may get you fired from your job or lose an endorsement.
Right.
That is not constitutionally protected because your job, an endorsement, Disney, is not the government. So thank you for coming to this refresher course of Pero Let Me Tell You's 101s of con law.
I will say this. I don't agree with this woman's stance on these things, clearly. But at the same time, you know, I will say this. Look, at the end of the day, if you're going to be this bastion of, you know, of free speech, I'm saying free speech, but I that's not really what I'm trying to say. Is, you know, if you want to be this thing of like, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion and da 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 da, you should not just fire somebody. I mean, again, there's probably more details than we know, but on the face of it, you know, she holds an opinion different than the company. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, we're talking about Disney, which is like, you know, the corporate overlords, right?
But I mean, Disney's a galactic.
It might as well be. Yeah. It was probably one of the galactics from Mother Love. But you know, just because you voice a differing opinion, I do not think you should necessarily lose your livelihood. I think, you know, you still got to work. You still have to pay your bills. You know, and at the end of the day, then when the shoe's on the other foot, right? Because if you're somebody who's a little more lefty and you're working for a Fox Corp type of thing, right? They fire you, you're going to raise holy hell as well. So I don't think on the face of it, that should be enough. Now, it sounds like Disney tried to kind of walk her through a couple of like, hey, look, mea culpas. But
is it true that, and you know, this is coming from somebody who identifies, you know, on the left as a liberal and always has. You know, is it, especially for a public, for a celebrity and a public figure like her, is there a certain stigma and is there a certain, if you want to call it, burden to being a conservative or a Republican or even liking Trump as a public figure and putting it on your social media? Do you probably get a harder time than if you were, it was the opposite? Probably.
Yeah.
Especially from the Hollywood of it all. Probably. I mean, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
You know, that's fair to say. Is that not to say that there have been celebrities and public figures that maybe have posted things that lean more to the right that have maybe unjustly gotten scrutinized, whereas the equivalent
right.
to people that swing to the left would have not gotten that scrutiny? Probably, you know, and we're not even talking about like radical things like January 6th or
right,
like that the election was stolen. We're talking about like major, you know, run-of-the-mill conservative talking points, right?
Probably.
I think that's fair to say. But again, I don't know exactly what she tweeted, but here's the problem. To me, you know, maybe she has a valid claim against Disney. I don't know. I don't know the facts of her case. I read sort of in a headline that she was doing that. I don't know the specifics of the case. You know, maybe she has a great case against Disney. But to me, her, and I realize that to go to, against the behemoth that Disney is, and it will include the GDP of a country. So I think that probably had a lot to do with it. But the moment that you involve Elon Musk in that realm, to me, unfortunately, now where Elon Musk is, you lose credibility because to me, Elon Musk went from being this sort of genius, badass person that so many people admired to now... I mean, and it's not even a whether you agree with his politics or not. It's just like, what the hell are you doing?
He's just a troll with a budget.
What the hell are you doing, right? Because he's running Twitter to the ground, right? Yeah. Just from a business sense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's running Twitter to the ground.
And I find it fascinating that he's like being this proponent for free speech when it has been demonstrated in the last, since he took over, that there have been times where people's accounts who are anti whatever his stances are, the algorithm. So you're playing fast and loose and with free speech on
prior,
X as well.
Prior to him getting involved in Twitter, there weren't a lot of things wrong with Twitter because there were.
Yeah, it's not him necessarily.
There was a lot of misreporting and things that weren't being reported by Twitter in terms of political standpoints, especially conservative ones. So Twitter was no angel even before he got involved. Yeah. To me, right now, he's sort of like a shock and awe person that he just does things for shock value and to kind of make headlines. So I don't see him anymore as somebody that has a valid or even intellectual concern. I just see him as somebody who is there to shock people and shake things up.
He's clickbait.
He's clickbait. And to me, the moment that you have Elon Musk and something like this, to me, you lose credibility. And it becomes all of a sudden political. Because this was already political.
Because of the basis of what she said, right.
Yeah. But now with him, it becomes even more political. And it becomes even like 10 degrees worse than it was before. So, I mean, again, I realize that she needs all the money she can to go against Disney.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those are going to be interesting legal fees.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she could go to Morgan & Morgan and they could do it for pro bono. And that Morgan & Morgan could be like, we are the nation's largest law firm and we sued the Mandalorian and won. Mando has nothing on us.
No. No, no Baby Yoda here.
Not Baby Yoda.
Grogu.
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 Oh, don't call him Baby Yoda. So, oh yeah, do you know what I'm like super excited about?
From Usher?
This is totally up my wheelhouse. Okay. But for many of you out there, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, I'm like an Olympophile.
I'm gonna approve the word. I'm making
an Olympophile.
Yes.
So I'm sort of obsessed with the Olympics.
Yes. I think they caught that when we interviewed Daniel.
Yes.
Yes.
But you know, we interviewed Daniel a few years ago, so maybe we have new listeners came later. But I'm a huge Olympics fan. I have since I was a little kid. I collect Olympic memorabilia, books. I have a friend of mine that, because of his work, travels to the Olympics every other year.
Which I don't think he's traveling this year. I feel like you need the months
And he brings me bags, literally bags of memorabilia, mascots, and things like that. So I'm an Olympic. Olympophile.
So. Olympophile, yeah.
So this year, it's the 2024 Olympics in Paris, and I'm really excited about that. So they released what they showed this week, what are the medals going to look like.
They're different?
Each Olympic Games has its own medal design.
Right.
Right? So the only continuation is that the back of it has... Also, funny story about the Olympic medals. So when the Olympics were... This is another learned part of
the... So much learning in this episode.
Of the episode. So in 2004, when the Olympics were in Athens, mm-hmm. since that's the birthplace of the Olympics, it was sort of seen like a coming home celebration.
Okay.
So there were a lot of... traditions that they sort of brought back again, because Athens and Olympia were... So Olympia was the site of the ancient Olympic Games,
yes.
But Athens was the site of the first modern Olympic Games in 1896. Mm-hmm. So when they came back to Athens in 2004, it was sort of like a welcoming home. So what Athens did was that the usually the Olympic medal on one face has a design that is of the current Olympic Games.
Okay.
And then on the other face, it now has an image of the goddess Nike.
Oh, okay.
Right? This has been going on since the 2004 Olympics in Athens. They are the ones who now instilled that new permanent design of mm-hmm. the goddess Nike. Because prior to that, the image on the Olympic medal that was the permanent image that every single Olympic Games had was of a... Roman goddess in front of the Colosseum. So they got it totally wrong. So
this, they didn't run this by anybody?
They did never run this. So all the Olympics of like, well, 190,
that's wonderful.
It was 2004-96. So for 108 years, all the Olympic medals on one side had a Roman god with the Colosseum. Not a Greek one. So Athens in 2004 fixed that. But anyway, so each Olympics, so in the back it will have the Nike image, but in the front it'll have a current image of the current Olympic Games. And for the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris, the part of the medal that has a design that is of the current Olympics will have a piece of the medal of the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Oh, that's so cool.
They got this iron from the Eiffel Tower from a remodel that they did of the Eiffel Tower some years ago. They obviously kept that scrap metal. So
as one does.
That's the scrap. Well, it's the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, exactly. If you're going to keep scrap metal, it's going to be of the Eiffel Tower. The Tour Eiffel. Do you know what year the Eiffel Tower opened?
No.
1889.
That's a long time ago.
So I'm gonna give a little bit of Eiffel Tower history in a moment. So they're gonna get the pieces of that scrap metal of the Eiffel Tower to put on the original medal. So do you know the purpose of the Eiffel Tower?
Not even a little bit.
How it came and all that?
No.
So the Eiffel Tower was designed by Gustave Eiffel.
Okay.
And it was for the World's Fair in Paris.
Oh, okay. World's Fair gave us so many cool things.
It really did. Some of the most important monuments in like humanity have been because of World's Fairs. So it was for the World Fair in Paris in 1889. Mm-hmm. It was actually supposed to be a temporary structure. It was never designed to be
permanent.
And in fact, when it premiered during the 1899 World's Fair in Paris, the Parisians and the world hated it.
They did?
They thought it was really ugly. They thought it was an eyesore to the skyline, because actually Paris, till this day, being such a huge city, has a very small skyline. Paris has very strict ordinance on skyscrapers not being built. If you look at the skyline of Paris, it's very mid-level buildings, mid-rise buildings. There's only a very small part of Paris in the central business district that has higher buildings, and they're not even huge skyscrapers. They're very strict.
It's just taller.
So that's why the Eiffel Tower dwarfs everything around it. So the Eiffel Tower was supposed to be temporary, and they hated it. So fast forward. So they kind of kept it there, and it was supposed to be demolished, and it never was. Fast forward to, I believe it was World War I, that they used it as radio signals.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So then after that they found some functionality to the Eiffel Tower, they sort of kept it for a few more years.
Okay, because they didn't know what to do with it.
They kind of didn't know what to do with it, and demolishing will cost millions and millions of dollars. So then it just stayed there. It was actually in disrepair for quite some time, and it just stayed there for a few decades, and then eventually people grew to love it. It became an icon and now the world's most famous structure. So that's the story of the Eiffel Tower.
That is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Nobody wanted the Eiffel Tower.
Nobody wanted it.
Le Tour Eiffel. Oui. Yeah.
Mon Dieu.
Now, do you know some other very important fixtures of the World's Fair?
Okay, so
you lived by one.
I was gonna say there's the ones in Corona Park,
the Unisphere.
Uh huh.
from the 1964 World's Fair.
Then there's...
Do you know what else came out of the 1964 World's Fair?
I'm going to say, I don't know if I'm right, but I think I am. Is it the Carousel of Progress?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then there was the Ferris Wheel in the Chicago World's Fair.
The Columbian Exposition of 1893.
Right. And that's where my knowledge ends.
Okay. So the 1893 Columbian Exposition is one of the most important and iconic World's Fair ever. So it was in 1893, and it was to commemorate... In 1893, the 1492.
good Lord.
The 400 years of Columbus. And they did it a year later. But they did it in Chicago, and it was this massive, massive undertaking. Actually, the 1893 World's Fair is my favorite World's Fair. So World's Fairs are also things that I collect a lot of books on. And in that World's Fair, it was the first World's Fair to have electricity.
This is the one from Devil in the White City.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
I love that you know it because of a book. Okay. You know it, but you know it.
But it is historical fiction.
So it is historical fiction because there was that those murders did happen.
Oh, they did happen. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So it was the first World's Fair to have electricity. As you said, the Ferris wheel. Its debut was at the fair.
Right.
And what was really interesting about the Ferris wheel, and the man who designed it was last named Ferris, is that Ferris wheel, after the World's Fair, sat abandoned because there was no interest in it.
So I'm seeing a pattern with World's Fairs.
So, and then in the Columbian Exposition in Chicago in 1893, the area that connected the main part of the fair to where the Ferris wheel was, that had all the smaller exhibits and sideshows, was called the Midway.
And hence,
it was Midway, hence the Midway at the fairs. Yeah, really interesting. Do you know another fun fact about a World's Fair?
No, I'm pretty much tapped out.
So 1904 St. Louis World's Fair.
Okay.
We had a guy who was selling ice cream. We had a guy who was selling Belgian waffles.
Yes, that's...
The guy of the ice cream runs out of cups. He tells his friend next door who is selling the
waffles.
Give
me some of those waffles.
Hey, can you give me some of those waffles to put the ice cream in? And he sort of made it into a cone, and hence the ice cream cone came out of the World's Fair. Those are your World's Fair facts.
Yes. So much learning happening in this episode today.
I can actually go on. I could geek out about
World's Fairs. You could do a mini series, I'm sure.
We could have like a whole like special section.
World's Fair tidbits.
No, seriously, but what people have to understand about World's Fairs is that, you know, this was before, obviously before the internet.
Right.
This was before, not before television, because when the 64 World's Fair TV already existed, but, you know, the World's Fair used to have a huge significance because it was these events that were held, you know, every 4 years about. That is where different countries used to get together in their different pavilions. Mm-hmm. It would pick a site, a different country in the world, and then all these countries will get together and show off technology and show off the latest and greatest things that their country had to offer. Like, for example, in the Columbian Exposition in 1893 in Chicago, one of the things that was also very important is that that's where sort of more modern day architecture came out in terms of houses being wider.
Oh.
Not like row houses.
Row houses, yeah.
And, you know, these World's Fairs had a huge, huge influence on the way we lived our life.
Well, I mean, think about how far away everything was. I mean, I know that sounds stupid to say, like, of course countries are far away, but just... You know, the means of communication. I mean, what was the letters?
So if people are telegrams. If people are curious about this, I invite you to go to YouTube and look up. There's a lot of content about World's Fairs. Mm-hmm. Is that there is this in New York, in the same spot where the 1964 World's Fair was, Park. The 1939 World's Fair was held there as well.
Oh,
and If I show you an image of it, you'll know what it is. It's like a spear,
mm-hmm,
and like a tower next to
the,
it.
The thing from Men in Black.
No, the thing from Men in Black is from the 64.
This is 64. Okay,
this is a 39. So there is actually a promotional video for the 1939 World's Fair where an American family goes to visit the World Fair, and the video starts with them at home. And this is from 1939.
This was probably running in theaters.
Yeah, it was like a promotional spot, like a little movie.
Yeah,
and they go to the World's
Fair. Like the newsreels.
And there's I think it was General Electric, or was a Westinghouse robot at the World's Fair. And the robot talks to the kid. And, you know, you look at it and you're like, that was from 1939.
Right.
Like, that's a big deal. And there's a lot of content on it, but it's just, it's really, really interesting. The history of World's Fairs. So I'm really excited about that.
It still exists?
The World's Fair still exists.
Really? Yeah. I mean, obviously not
in
the
fact,
same.
In 2023 or 2022, it was in Dubai.
But it's not at the same level as
it used
to be.
It's not at the same level because right. Now it's sort of like, oh, look at this phone has AI. It's not, you know, technology right now in a lot of aspects, there's a certain redundancy of it insofar that like it's building upon infrastructure that's already there.
Okay.
And, like making it, like think of your cell phone, right?
Right, right.
Your cell phone now is.
It's a computer.
Well, it's a computer, but it's, you know, what is it, the iPhone 15?
Yeah.
Built on the iPhone 14,
right.
Which built on the 13,
right,
which
right,
built
right.
on the. So it's not we. It's more of an up. It's more of an evolution than a revolution.
I like that.
Right. A lot of technology is today. Although you can make the argument that AI is now there's an AI revolution.
Right.
But for a while now, it's been more of an evolution. Like think about a flat screen TV. You know.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now vamos por 8K.
See, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A few years ago, it was 4K. Before that, it was 1080p. You know, before that, it was 720p. Yeah. Like,
we're at the point that human eye doesn't even register it anymore.
Right. It's like, it doesn't really matter. Like, my eye can't read it.
It doesn't matter. We're good. Thanks.
So there's actually one last thing before we get to our last soda that I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
Because I think it's something that you and I have very different opinions on.
Oh.
Because we sort of have talked about something similar before, but there is an airline company in Europe. I think it's called Finnair.
Oh, I think I heard about this.
So I'm going to go ahead and guess it's Finnish.
Yeah.
That they are going to have a pilot program, no pun intended, this year, or they already started it maybe, where they're going to start charging people based by weight. I'm not sure if they're going to start charging people based by weight or if you weigh a certain amount of, if you weigh over a certain amount of time, they're they're going to start charging you an overage fee.
Okay.
Right? So I have my opinions about that. I think it's awful. Absolutely awful. To me, that goes in line with, you know, American Airlines. When I mean American Airlines, I don't mean American Airlines.
Yeah,
I mean
airlines in America,
in the United States. Yes. That some of them make you buy two seats if you're of a certain size. So I think that's awful. What is your take on that?
So I think there's two things to address here, which is number one, I don't know how they are.
They're going to sway people.
How they're, yeah, I know. But I'm saying, like, I don't know. I don't know the logistics of how this is going to be executed, I think, is what I'm saying. So, like, to your point, is it if you weigh between X and X, you're fine. If you weigh between this much more to this much more, it's $10 more. After that, it's $50. Like, I don't know.
There's
the
a tier system.
Right.
To
yeah, exactly. Like, every pound counts. I don't know, right?
If you're 10 to 15, it's $20
it's right.
more.
I mean,
if you're 16 through 40, it's.
Es como el gusano pagua. You know, there's a certain weight limit. I here's the thing. I know that you disagree with the one here in the US. I agree that if you cannot fit into one chair, you need to buy more than one.
Okay.
Sorry, because you know what? Like, I mean, look, it's not even about fat shaming. It's just about physically you don't fit in that chair, and then we have to account for the other people. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm sorry. You just, you know, you're going to have to pay. I'm sorry. You just are. Mm-hmm. This situation to me seems a little bit more fat shaming mm-hmm. than the other one mm-hmm. because the current system here in the US, at the very least, it's more of a, in theory, you can do it before you board the plane. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like from the comfort of your home, you book your two seats and you do, you know what I mean? Like you kind of, you can navigate it. Whereas this seems to me like once you arrive at the airport is when they're going to be like, all right, fatty, get on the scale. Let's
right, but,
see.
But in the other option, that's also the case as well.
Okay. See,
what happens with here in the US is that many people get to the airport and they're told them you need two seats. So, you know, at that point in time, if they make you buy a second seat, you know, maybe you don't have the money to buy a second seat. You know, maybe you're going for an emergency because you lost a loved one or somebody has a medical emergency or
something. Fair enough. But you and I have talked about this many times. We barely fit in those seats. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you are somebody who is very, 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 very zoftig, okay, you know you're not going to fit in that seat. Like I'm sorry. You know you're not.
Right, but you know what?
You know you're not.
I think it's a terrible business model, and it's a terrible business model, and I think it's unethical and incorrect. Because look, whatever. This is not the point of the argument, and we could have this part of the conversation at another time. But the reality is that most Americans are overweight.
Yeah,
it's a reality.
We are.
It's a reality. Yeah. We are not the size of Europeans.
No,
at right?
all. Probably not the size
most
of Finnish
people. Most people are overweight here in the United States. And again, we could have a conversation at another time as to why that is. But the point is that it is. So you cannot, I think, from an ethical standpoint, especially from a business point, I guess, you know, it's a capitalist society, so you could do whatever you want. But from an ethical standpoint, I don't think it's right to tell somebody, oh, well, because you are overweight or you're wider than other people, you need a second seat. If that is the case, and you should have seats in your plane, in the back, or wherever you want to put them that are wider. And these seats can be used they could be used generally, right? But they can also be used in the event that you have somebody who's larger who just doesn't fit in a regular seat.
And that's fine. That's fine.
Because again, you know, if nobody in a flight meets that description, then sell that seat to somebody else and hey, they get a little bit more room, right?
Right.
But have certain seats laid out to accommodate people that may need more room and can't pay for first class and can't pay for that. Because I think it's awful for you to get to the airport. And I'm not even talking about going on vacation or something, but you get to the airport because you need to travel because you're having an emergency and to be told, oh, we're sorry, you don't fit in the seat.
Again,
you can't get on the plane.
We can have a conversation because you know what? At the end of the day, like I said, we're not talking about people like, in the airplane. We're not talking, and I look, I could stand to lose a couple pounds. We're talking about people who are significantly overweight, and it's like, you know, you're not going to fit in that chair. So you're also waiting to the last minute to put yourself in that position. But in terms of Finnair. It sounds better that way. Finnair.
What are you flying? Finnair. I'm flying Finnair.
That one seems a little weird to me because again now you're making people get on a scale.
I mean, if they go by BMI metrics, we're all screwed.
Oh, fucking you know what, let's start there. Let's abolish the BMI index because according to that I should weigh 110 pounds.
According to
I've
that,
been obese since I was like
I should 13. Weigh 170. If I weigh 170, I would be like,
you would look like the ring light we're using right now.
I will. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would look just like the ring light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the thinnest I've been in my adult life, I was well into the 200s. Y yo estaba flaco. I was like a size 33, you know?
Right.
Yo estaba flaco. And I was like at 240. Like,
yeah. Again, you know? Because the BMI index has to be abolished. Like, you know,
abolish
the BMI index. BMI. You know what? Let's do the change.org petition for that. But yeah, I don't know. This Finnair thing, I think what makes me feel bad, what makes me with it is the whole element of like we're going to weigh you before you get on the plane.
Can you imagine?
Like that's the part that seems a little
putting in that policy and like doing a reality show. You know how they had Airline here on A&E?
Can we do that?
I love that show Airline on A&E. They haven't had that
No,
forever,
it's been canceled forever.
But I still watch it on YouTube. I still watch it on YouTube.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are we? This past weekend we were with a friend of yours, and she was telling us how she worked for a huge carrier in LaGuardia. She was telling us how horrible people are, and I'm like, listen, I think that working nowadays in an airline, especially you know in person, like at the airport, I think that you need to go through like a special physical combat training, like. You know how people, when they join the military, they have to go through that?
They should be the National Reserve.
Yes, I think you need to go to like special combat training. And then when you finish that combat training, I think you need to go to some type of retreat so you can
collect yourself and
how to teach you breathing techniques and de-escalation techniques. You should be sent to the same school training center that people that are hostage negotiators
go to.
To de-escalate any situation.
Yes.
I really think that, yeah, that when you work for an airline, especially at the airport, you need to have de-escalation training just like experts do with hostage negotiators, because when people are at airports and they're ready to rip your head off,
yeah,
you need a lot of training and a lot of things that most people don't have in order not to commit a felony at that point.
It's a special skill set.
Yeah. For sure. I've always thought that one of the worst jobs somebody can have is working at the lost luggage call center of an airline. Because I think that when people, their luggage gets lost, they're ready to murder you. They're ready to murder you. There's nothing you could say or do. And mind you, have you ever been in that situation?
Yeah.
I've had my luggage lost.
I've gotten my luggage the next day.
Right, I got it the next day. It's an inconvenience.
It sucks.
Well, what are you going to do at that point? I'm not going to trail. I'm not going to the train, because usually it's a case where your luggage got lost in a layover.
Yeah, that's usually it.
So it's what? Are you going to transport yourself to Amsterdam and bring my luggage?
No, and it's not the fault of the person behind the counter.
Right. So God bless anybody that works in the counter of an airline at an airport, because
they're doing God's work.
They're doing God's work because it's you're dealing with such unreasonable people now. And look, I know that flying is super stressful, and I know that it's gotten worse throughout the years, and delayed flights, canceled flights. We all need to get to where we're going. I get it. It's super stressful. But at the end of the day, it's not the person's fault on the other side of the counter, and your tantrum and your yelling is not necessarily going to fix that situation.
Yeah, you're not making it better.
Yeah.
Bueno, we're officially at that point where many of us have broken that resolution about eating better. Oye, no es fácil, mi gente. But you know what does make it easy to be healthier? Dairy, los productos lácteos, de leche, a queso, even yogurt. Your favorite dairy products have calcium, protein, zinc, and riboflavin, which helps your body use carbs, fats, and protein for fuel. Plus, who doesn't love saying riboflavin? Incorporating dairy into your diet is so easy, you can do it year-round, not just for the new year. To learn more about all dairy's many health benefits, just visit floridamilk.com or lechedeflorida.com today. Okay, one more time. Riboflavin.
So not even a little bit.
Oh, and all this Finnair talk has made me very thirsty.
Finnair. We're thirsty after Finnair. Do you want to go first?
I'll go first. Right. So welcome to our last soda section today. We never welcome our listeners to the last soda section. So welcome to the last soda section of Pero Let Me Tell You.
Yes.
So I'm giving my last soda today to Sofia Vergara.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay. We've been talking about her since we came back.
So Sofia Vergara, this week, I don't know, it premiered Architectural Digest.
Oh,
they did a whole video of her showing her house in LA. Her house is stunning. It's actually one of my favorite. Have you seen it?
No.
It's one of my favorite celebrity houses that I've seen. It's just beautiful. It's tastefully done. It's wonderful. It's this beautiful mansion in Hollywood. And I was thinking, man. She has come far from the fuera de serie days con Fernando Fiore on Univision. She's one of these people that sort of how we say with the Estefans that they feel so familiar to us that they feel like family.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that Sofia Vergara, for Latin people, we've known her since she was in her 20s. And, started off, again, as the hot girl in this travel show. That, that show, a lot of people watch that show, but that wasn't a serious show. She was a hostess. She wasn't taken seriously either.
Right.
She was the hot girl, the hot blonde the Colombian window dressing. Girl, And from where she started to where she is, I mean, that is a huge, huge trajectory, because she's... everybody in the United States knows her. You know, she's been in extremely successful. When she was on Modern Family, she was one of the highest paid actresses.
Yeah.
You know, she has a huge accent. You know, she's very much Colombiana and, you know, unapologetically Latina. And it's front and center in everything that she does. And look at where she's at. So, I don't know. When I was just seeing her there, you know, you maybe you're a fan of hers. Maybe you're not. Maybe you don't think she's funny. You know, maybe you do. I think she's hilarious. Yeah. I think she is just naturally funny. She doesn't have to try. Like, she's just naturally funny. But I was like, wow, like, what a trajectory. What a journey, you know, from where you are to here you are on freaking Architectural Digest showing your freaking Hollywood mansion. Yeah. It's like, you know, so... Here's a soda for you, Sophia, to drink in your beautiful patio overlooking your beautiful pool with a pool house with hills that have a nature scene similar to those in Colombia. You know, that's what I would do too.
As one does.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I agree with you. She's the epitome of, you know what, if you've got focus and you've got drive, I think you... There's luck in there as well, obviously. But I think somebody who's as determined as she evidently was to make it, quote unquote, whatever that means to anybody, that the hustle is real, you know? Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of hustle, my last soda is going to be a gasless soda.
Oh no.
But it's,
have we had one this year?
I don't think so. No. So it's a gasless soda in the form of a PSA.
Oh, okay.
All right. So speaking of hustles, as y'all know, we have our side hustle, Mi Pampollo. I'm going to give a PSA to everyone out there. When you go to a small business, be they at a brick and mortar, at a pop-up, at a festival, if you walk up and you don't like their prices, just keep walking. If you walk up and you don't like their prices, don't ask if there's a discount because you are some type of, you know, vendor or because you just feel like you should ask for a discount. It's the epitome of fucking disrespectful. If you don't like somebody's price, keep going, because you don't walk into BK and be like, that Whopper's too expensive. Can I just get it for less? Can't you just give me a 10% discount apropos of nothing? Like, I'm sick of it. I'm done. I'm sick of it. And I'm putting it out there. Next person who comes and says something to me about our prices or asks for a discount, I'm going to tell you where to go and how to get there. All right? So that is my gasless soda in the form of a PSA. I'm done.
Well, people, you heard it here. for our Ping Pong Pollo loyal customers, if you follow us on Ping Pong Pollo and you follow us in front of us, you still get the...
Well, yeah, most of... Listen, for the loyal customers, chances are a bunch of you are already getting some type of discount. But why? Because I want to give you a discount. Customer.
You have a loyalty program.
Right, that's the loyalty program, all right? That's the loyalty program. I'm giving it to you. But you know what? I'm done. I'm over
it. But you know what,
I'm over it, because we're a small business.
To go with what you're saying.
And
people, for those of you who don't know...
It's been festering and pissing me off for the last couple of weeks.
In addition to Pero, let me tell you, Ish and I have a side business where we sell chicken wings, and we have pop-ups all throughout South Florida. We've been doing this for over 2 years now, and we're very, very lucky. It's gone very well. We pop up all over town. We've been in very prestigious food festivals. Actually, we're going to be at the South Beach Food and Wine Festival.
And to be fair, most of y'all are great.
Right. We've done very well, but we are a small business, and you know, food costs are really, really high.
Yeah.
As you say jokingly, we got into the chicken wing business when there was a chicken wing shortage.
Yeah.
Right. And on the most part, as you say, on the most part, you know, people that enjoy our food and know we're a small business are more than happy to support us, to even give us tips.
Yeah.
We don't ask for tips, and a lot of people give us tips, and they're more than happy to. We've been very fortunate that we've gathered a pretty large following.
We have a very loyal following.
Loyal following that go to our pop-ups. I mean, we had a guy last week, we had a pop-up on Friday here in Miami. And then the following day, we had a pop-up in Broward a whole hour away. And he went to that pop-up too. And I was like, you're the first Ping Pong Pollo customer to have wings simultaneously, like the same weekend,
right?
You know, in different counties, right? And that's amazing. But then again, every now and then, we'll get that person. Yeah. It's like, oh, your wings are really expensive. Can you give us a discount? And again, going to what you say, you don't go to Publix and tell the manager, right. Oye, el pollo está carísimo, ¿por qué tú no me das un descuento en el pollo? Oye, right. Que cara está la carne, you know, look at butter, how much,
right.
So it's very entitled, conceited, y fucking equivocado,
right.
To go to a small business and be like, oh yeah, this is really expensive, can you give it to me cheaper?
Right.
Like, I would never.
Because you're in a parking lot.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, again, it's a little bit of the whole, like, you know, Lady Gaga, Madonna thing where it's like you can walk into a room and of 100 people and 99 of them are great, but it's the one that pisses you off that you remember. So, yeah, that's kind of where it's been festering in my head for a couple of weeks now.
So that's your PSA.
Yes, that is my PSA.
Mm. We've never had a gasless PSA before.
No, we have not. This is the first. It's a new year. It's a new year. Yeah. And ultimately, what it comes down to is just respect small businesses. You know, respect small businesses. They are not just hustling. In many cases, these are small businesses that are actually making a living off of their small business. And, you know, you just need to respect that element of it. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But just keep going.
Right. Moving right along.
Yes. Feeling fancy free.
Fun and fancy free.
There we go.
The part of the Disney Masterpiece Collection. Nobody ever talks about that
movie.
That's
right. Yeah.
Fun and fancy free. Imagine if, like, you come up to somebody, you're like, oh, I'm a huge Disney fan. I love Disney movies. What are your favorite movies? My favorite movies are Fun and Fancy Free,
The Black Cauldron.
The Black Cauldron and The Three Caballeros.
Uh-huh.
Those are my three favorite Disney movies. I'll probably love that person.
You know what? I'd be down.
I'll be like, you're not basic at all.
At all. Like, at all. You and I are going to have fun. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you love The Black Cauldron.
Oh, man.
Listeners, awesome. Have you ever seen The Black Cauldron by Disney?
Yo, that's a movie.
Yeah. I'm like, but who approved this? It's like this really, The Black Cauldron was in the 70s.
Yes.
It was, yeah. It was in that, I think people really forget that there was a time in Disney movies, like the 70s and 80s,
yeah.
That, well, prior to the Disney Renaissance,
early 80s.
Mm-hmm. That the Disney movies did not do well. Like,
no, the animated movies did not.
The Rescuers, although I like The Rescuers.
But it didn't really.
The Rescuers Down Under, it didn't do well.
No.
The
Great Mouse Detective, Oliver and Company.
The Fox and the Hound.
Fox and the Hound.
And not that they're bad
no,
movies.
No, they just didn't do well.
They just didn't do well. So those are some movies that a lot of times people forget about, like the Aristocats.
Oh, that's right. I've never seen the Aristocats.
You've never seen the Aristocats?
No,
but it's Zsa Zsa Gabor.
I know. You would think. You know, Zsa Zsa Gabor is a cat.
As a cat.
I mean, what more do I need?
As a pussy cat.
As a pussy cat, darling. What else? I mean, honestly, it's tailor-made for me, if no, you really stop and think about it.
My favorite Disney movies are The Rescuers, The Black Cauldron, and Fun and Fancy Free.
And Fun and Fancy Free, you know, the classics.
Isn't that your favorite Disney?
You know, those beloved classics.
You know what's so funny? Like, Disney would never do that, but they should build, like, a whole part of their theme park of forgotten Disney.
Like B-list Alley.
B-list Alley.
And it's just like literally just an alley with all of these muñecos of all these lesser known.
Yeah, you know which one I sort of love, but yeah, it's in that list, is Oliver and Company.
I love that movie.
Oliver and Company was like, I think, the last movie before The Little Mermaid.
I think so.
I think it was like cusp of Disney Renaissance.
Yeah.
It's like, it was almost there.
I remember the finger puppets from McDonald's Happy Meal toys.
It was almost there, Oliver and Company.
Had Billy Joel.
Not even Billy Joel could save
that
one.
Not even Billy Joel and Bette Midler could save that one.
But yeah, The Black Cauldron. I remember when I saw that, I was like, man, what Disney Corporation thought that this was a good idea for a children's movie? Okay, that movie's dark as shit. It's like watching Game of Thrones.
Cuño, I wouldn't have gotten that comparison. But no, you're not wrong.
It's like the Game of Thrones equivalent to a Disney movie.
Yes. Game of Thrones light.
The Sword in the Stone is also in there. And
oh,
those are cute.
Yeah, that's a
those
fun
are
one.
Because I feel
they
that
used to play that one a lot on 33.
I feel that which one was it? Sleeping Beauty's from the 50s.
Si. All the princesses were like 50s, 60s.
Yeah, that's Aurora.
Yeah.
I think, by the time Sleeping Beauty came out in the 50s, like, it sort of died down in the 60s.
I'm trying to think what...
Because Cinderella was in the 50s, in the early 50s.
Okay.
And I think Sleeping Beauty was either in the late 50s or early 60s. But I think that, Sleeping Beauty was one of the last ones.
She was the last one, because I think after her was, like, The Jungle Book.
Right. Like, that was, like, the last one of those, like, that first sort of couple
wave,
of decades of... Yeah, that wave that lasted like 3 decades of like
the fairy tales,
And then it sort of went dark for about 30 years. And then, you know, Little Mermaid came around and changed everything.
And, you know, and that's okay.
As Ariel does.
As Ariel changes everything.
Anyone, everybody, Eagle. Tune in next week when we're going to have part two of Fun at World Fairs.
Oh, World Fair a go go.
I mean, listen, we could have a side podcast on World's Fair and Fun with Flags. I mean, I'm down for it.
I mean, listen, listeners, if you want it, he'll do it.
And then, you know, we'll have another one on ocean liners, and that will never end.
No, the one that will be eternal is the Olympics one.
I mean, I can name every Olympic Games.
Okay, no, we've done this before. We're at the end of the show.
I mean, we could have like a side. We could have a.
Oh, Lord.
World Fair Mondays.
Okay. Oh, so this
Ocean
is every day
Liner
of the week.
Tuesdays.
Okay. Okay.
Ballpark Friday. No, but no, because Friday we drop our regular episode.
That's right. That's
Ballpark
right.
Thursdays.
Okay. Thursday. Okay. What's on Wednesdays?
Wednesdays is our hangiando.
Okay. Right. All right. Fair enough.
I mean, listen.
That's true.
With Ballpark Thursdays, I mean.
Well, Ballpark Thursdays, there's only so many.
I mean, that could be a special series of Pero. Let me tell you, there's only 30 of them.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
right. But we could also go to already like gone ballparks.
Oh, okay.
That could be season two.
That's and then season three is arenas.
Do you know where the name arena comes from?
I believe, well, it's like Roman or Greek, right?
Very close. So in ancient Rome, uh-huh. when you would go to the Colosseum, or I mean, there were several Colosseums built in the Roman Empire, but
is it because there was sand?
There was sand, right. Arena. Right. It was sand. And do you know why there was sand?
To clean up the blood.
To clean up the blood. Yeah. So from the arena came the word arena.
Right.
So more
as
learned.
As always, siempre robando las palabras latinas.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of learning in this
so
episode.
Much learning.
So everybody,
this episode should come with a scholarship.
You could have an honorary doctorate yes. after listening to this episode. Apply now for your honorary, pero let me tell you, doctorate's degree.
PLMTYU.
We can make a t-shirt of that. Yeah. Where do you go, PYT? PYT University, PYTU.
Yes.
Anyway, everybody, we hope you listened, laughed, and learned. As always, remember to grab your pastelito, your croquetas, and your cafecito.
Yep.
Go Kansas City, go Usher.
Go Usher, all right.
Everybody have fun at the Super Bowl.
Yes, enjoy the parties, everybody.
Bueno, bye.
Bye. Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Liano, produced by Ismael Liano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michelangelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.